All right, Shavuot say, good morning, good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Menachem Av, Benjamin and Elise Wall of Netanya Eretz Yisrael, for dedicating all of Shurim and Joshua's this month in honor of Meshi Abramson and Jeremy Lassen, who enable all of those outside of our physical base medrash to participate in our shiurim. To thank Jack Bennett for dedicating all of Shurim and Joshua's this month in memory of Sergeant Nikolai Rappaport of the Givati Brigade, who died in the Hezbollah ambush in southern Lebanon on February 7th, 1998. To thank our week of learning sponsors, Nathan and Beth Adler, in memory of Nathan's father, Ben Adler, Achaber Baruch Mordechai Ben Moreno Rav Nosson, on the occasion of his first Yartzeit on the 23rd of Av. And to thank our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Dr. Mark and Elsa Lustman, in commemoration of the Yartzeit of Dr. Lustman's mother, Anne Lustman, Chana Rachel Bas Avram Alter, whose Yartzeit is on the 21st of Av. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamas Lavin Aliyah and the family Zayn Chama. But with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today. Exciting Daf ahead of us today. Today's Daf is Pei Daled 84. And we are picking up on Pei Gimel Amud Beis 83b. And we're actually picking up Na'ana Rebbe Elazar Ben Azariah. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, about 18, 19 lines up from the bottom. So as I remember again, in yesterday's Daf, we spent actually the majority of the Daf speaking about four different objections to the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Right, Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah said that if a man says to his wife, "Hari ak muteres l'chol adam chutz mi ploni," right, we're divorced, and you're permitted to every man with the exception of Shimon. Right, Chacham say that's not a divorce. Rabbi Eliezer says it works. We then lodged four points of opposition. Right, four different rabbanim came and opposed the position of Rabbi Eliezer. To which the Gemara then said, you might be right, but ve'in mashivin esari la'achar misa. You can't go ahead and you can't contradict the lion after he's dead. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer could have defended himself. The Gemara, if you remember again, Rava said in yesterday's daf that the truth is three out of the four, one could refute them. The one that you can't was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So the Gemara says, not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, va'amar krisus davra koris beino lebeino. Remember here, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's his refutation of Rabbi Eliezer is pretty straightforward. He says that at the end of the day, Torah calls the get a sefer krisos. What's a sefer krisos? Something that creates a division, closes the marriage. Obviously, if he's going ahead and he's stipulating who the wife could marry, who she can't marry, then that's not a proper krisos. Cholamarata she'in ze krisos. I brabonon hai krisos my abdile. What do the rabbonon do with this concept of krisos? They go ahead and they use it for the following case. Reuben is married to Rachel. Reuben is now divorcing Rachel. Reuben says, this is your get, on the condition that you don't drink wine, or on the condition that you don't go to your father's house forever. In the krisos. This is not krisos. Shloshim yom. If he says he can't do it for 30 days, Hareze Krisos, ultimately that is Krisos. Rabbi says, it's interesting, that's what the Rabbanan do with Sefer Krisos. You could put a Tanai into a get. But the Tanai can't last for the duration of her life. But if it's a timed Tanai, then that would work. Be'idach. The other Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would say, Mikaris Krisos Nafka. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you could learn that from the fact that the Torah calls it a Sefer Krisos, whereas the Torah could have just called it a Sefer Kares. The fact that it goes ahead and discusses the prolonged form, or use the prolonged form, enables you to learn out both of these things. Number one, he cannot stipulate whom she can and cannot remarry. That's number one. And number two, any Tanai which lasts the duration of her natural life is going to be a problem in the krisos. Okay, v'idach, the Rabbanan will say karis krisos lodash. They don't make that drasha of karis krisos. Amar Rava. So I'll say some other cases. We already saw in yesterday's daf that we paskin against Rabbi Eliezer and that we paskin like the Rabbanan. Fine. Amar Rava. Hareze gitech amnash lo tishtiyayin kol yimei chayai. Interesting case. Reuben is divorcing Rachel. He says, this is your get on the condition that you do not drink wine for the rest of my life. That's what Reuben is saying. The rest of my life. Se'in ze krisos. So ultimately, again, this is not krisos. Kol yimei chayei ploni. If he says, Rachel, you can't drink wine the rest of, Levi's life, then ultimately, again, that works. Sana said, Maishna Chaye Ploni, the Dilma Mois. So Maishna Chaye Ploni, why is it that if he attaches the Tanai to the lifespan of Levi, that it works? Because Levi might die. Levi might die. I, says the Gemara, you can make the same argument. If he attaches it to his lifespan, he might die also. He might die also and fulfill the Tanai. Ela Ema, you're right. Gemar says you're right. First, why that above in the bottom? So most of it's going to what we just said before. You're right. If he says to Rachel, this is your get on the condition that you don't drink wine for the rest of your life, that is not a proper get because that lacks the element of krisos. If he says he can't drink wine for the rest of my life or the rest of Levi's life, that is krisos. So we'll say what you begin to see over here is as follows. The definition of krisos, a get, cannot hold something over the wife for the duration of her life. And if it does, then that's not a get because a get is something that by definition brings closure to the marital relationship. How is that manifest? He has no control over her in any way. No control over her. So therefore, again, whether he says, this is your get on the condition you can't marry Shimon, that's not krisos. Or even if he says, this is your get on the condition that you are, or this is your get on the condition you can't drink wine for the rest of your life. He's maintaining a hold on her for the rest of her life. So ultimately, again, that is a fundamental erosion of the concept of krisos, and therefore will undermine the validity of the get. Incredible. Let's go out there. Boimene Rav Amiram Nachman. Mostly did fascinating listen to this case. Hayom I at ishti ulamachar at ishti mahu. We'll say, watch this case. Reuven is married to Rachel. Reuven says to Rachel, Rachel, today I'm giving you a get on the condition that today you are not my wife, but tomorrow you will be my wife again. Today you're not my wife, tomorrow... Whatever, he has a trade show in Vegas, right? Right, everyone? Right? Hey, so I'll say, everyone except the rabbinate has a trade show in Vegas. It's incredible to see. Okay, so the mice again. So the mice, what happens? He says, today you're not my wife. Today you're not my wife. Tomorrow you are my wife. So I'll say, I just want to be clear. He's giving her a get, right? So this is a condition. You know, so it's a conditional get. A conditional get. So he's giving her the get, today you are divorced, tomorrow again you're my wife. Now, what's the halacha say in such a situation like this? So Tibai the Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi say, this is a shayla both according to Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon in the Mishnah. How so? So Tibai the Rabbi Eliezer, ad kan lo kama Rabbi Eliezer hasam, ela dilma de kashari shari li olam, aval hacha lo, o dilma lo shna. So Rabbi say, maybe here's the receipt, Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah who says, that Allah Lamaisa, a husband could say to his wife, this is your get and you are permitted to every man except for Shimon. But that's because when he permits her to everyone else, she's permitted forever. Over here, he's permitting her, so to speak, for a day, and then ultimately again saying the remarry. Maybe even Rabbi Eliezer would say that's not a good divorce. Furthermore, Tibai the Rabbanon, Ad kam ukami Rabbanon Hasan Ella Dlo Paska Mina Legamre. Furthermore, again I will say, maybe it could be according to Rabbanon, because according to the Rabbanon, ultimately, again, the reason why the case in the Mishnah doesn't work, where he permits her to everyone except for Shimon, is because ultimately, again, there's not a full divorce. There's not a full krisos. Aval hocha kevan de paska. Should I both say in this case, maybe according to the Rabbanon, the divorce does work. Why? Because when he divorces her today, I will say, what's the status of their union? Fully dissolved. And maybe since it's fully dissolved, Rabbanon would agree that it is a good divorce. To which the Gemara said, "Basar devaya hadi pashta." After they asked the question, they answered, "Tap of pei dalid mistabra bein the Rabbi Eliezer bein the Rabbanon kiven the paska." According to both opinions, Rabbo say, once he divorces her, she's divorced. So Rabbo say, essentially, what happens here is as follows: what the Gemara is suggesting is like this: once he gives her a get and he says to her, "You are divorced to me today," that's it. That's it. Once there is a complete divorce, even though he's saying in the same breath, but tomorrow we are remarried again, he can say whatever he wants. He can say tomorrow, you know, you're a watermelon. It doesn't make a difference. Lemaisa, once he goes ahead and he says to her, we are divorced and it is a full-fledged divorce and he gives her a get, any follow-up t'nai that goes ahead and says, then we're going to be remarried, is an ineffective statement. That's what it means. Kevan de paska, paska. Once the marriage has been dissolved, the marriage has been dissolved. So I will say, interestingly enough, it turns out that everyone agrees in this case that halacha l'maaseh, the divorce is a valid divorce, and the t'nai essentially is ineffective. Now, it happens to be the Rambam has a whole discussion on this about suffik megureshes. We're not going to get into it now. For our purposes, we're just going to go with the maskan of the Gemara, that once you dissolve the marriage is dissolved. The marriage is dissolved, and any subsequent statement that we're going to be remarried tomorrow is an ineffective statement. Incredible. Incredible. So most of the thoughts, Tan Rabbanon, so interesting, I will say. Reuven gives Rachel a get. This is the exact opposite of the case in the Mishnah. Right? Reuven gives Rachel a get. He says, this is your get on the condition you marry Shimon. Shimon's a good guy, or maybe Shimon's not a good guy, right? He deserves you, right? So Lemaisa again, he says to his wife, I'm divorcing you on the condition that you marry Shimon. So what's the halacha in such a situation like this? Harezu lo tinase. She cannot get. She cannot marry. Now, both say, it sounds. We're not sure exactly who she's not remarrying. But okay, she should not remarry. The nisei is lotetzi. But if she did marry, she doesn't have to leave her husband. So, my kamar, what are we saying over here? So, both listen to this. I'm Rav Nachman. So, we're going to go through a couple of iterations of this of the explanation here. So, just get ready for a little bit of back and forth. So, I'm Rav Nachman. Hachi kamar. This is what it means to say. Harezu lo tinase lo. So the halacha is she can't marry Shimon. Why? Shema yomru nishehen nostin b'matana. Lest people say that men are gifting their wives away to others. They both say, it doesn't look right. Right? It doesn't look right when Reuven goes in and divorces his wife and says, this is your get on the condition that you marry Shimon. What's going on there? He's giving his wife over to Shimon. That doesn't look right. So therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, she's not allowed to marry Shimon because it doesn't look right. But if she ended up marrying someone else, she ends up marrying Levi. Lo teise, she doesn't have to leave Levi. Mar says, whoa. I don't understand. How could she leave Levi? How could she marry Levi? There's a t'nai in this get. There's a t'nai. We'll say again, whether you like the t'nai, you don't like the t'nai, he made a t'nai. So now he said, this is your get on the condition you marry Shimon. She goes in and marries Levi. We're going to let her marry Levi because of a rabbinic prohibition? To which the Gemara says, because remember, again, we'll say, midah oraisa, this is a valid get. The Rabbanon say, don't marry Shimon because it looks like Reuven is gifting his wife to Shimon. Fine, I understand that, but how does that give her a license to marry Levi? Right? At the end of the day, non-compliance with t'nai means that she's still married to Reuven. To which the Gemara says, "El Amrav Nachman Hachi Kamer." This is what it means to say. Harizu lo tinase lo shem yomer nishem nosin matana. In reality, in this case, where Reuven says to Rachel, "This is your get on the condition that you marry Shimon." So I say, so step one, she can't marry Shimon. Why can't she marry Shimon? Rabbinic prohibition. It looks like Reuven is gifting his wife to Shimon. That's number one. V'miseis lo teitse. But if she does marry Shimon, she doesn't have to leave the marriage. She doesn't have to leave the marriage. D'mishum gezira lo mafkinon. Why? Because of a rabbinic gezira, we're not going to make her leave the marriage. So we'll say, so ideally, we don't want her to marry Shimon because it doesn't look right. But if she did marry Shimon, we will not make her leave the marriage. Ha la'ach, as the Gemara says, good. Amalei Rava. So Rava said to Rav Nachman, "Lo hu de lo tinase." So it sounds like what you're saying is she shouldn't marry Shimon. Ha la achar tinase, but she can marry Levi. So the Gemara says, "Well, second, v'ha bayil accumulate tina." But how can you do that? She has to fulfill the tonight. What about the tonight? V'chi tema. Maybe you'll say there is a way to fulfill the tonight. How do you do it? V'chi tema. Afshar de minsa b'hayom u'megar shalamachar. Let her marry him today, and he could divorce her tomorrow. You can divorce her, or they're both say, she can, watch what Mar is saying. She can marry Levi. She can marry Levi. Why could she marry Levi? Because she could always fulfill the t'nai at a later time. Right? Let her marry Levi today, so to speak. She'll get divorced, you know, tomorrow, and marry Levi. In other words, what that means is, since at some point in time she can fulfill the t'nai, So maybe we're okay with letting her marry Levi, as long as at some point in her lifetime, she does go ahead and marry Shimon, fulfill the Tanai, and therefore the get is going to be good retroactively. To which the Gemara says, Ulahach the plagis alei Rabbi Yehuda kamadamislei. And you're comparing this to the person who argues in Rabbi Yehuda. Who argues Rabbi Yehuda? So I'll say, watch this. De'itmar, konam einai bishina hayom emashe lemachar. What's the interesting case? Person says, literally konam, right? They will say lashon of neder, right? A person says, I hear sleep should be konam. Sleep should be usher to me today if I sleep tomorrow. So hear the case? Right? Sleep should be prohibited to me today if I end up sleeping tomorrow. So we'll say, what do you do in a case like this? Amar Rav Yehuda, al yishan hayom, shema yishan machar. Rav Yehuda says, don't sleep today. Don't sleep today, lest you come to sleep tomorrow. Rav Nachman, Amar Yashin, Rav Nachman says, not a problem. Sleep today. Sleep today, and we're not concerned you're going to sleep tomorrow. In other words, you can sleep today, and we're confident that you won't sleep tomorrow. So Rabbi says, so Gemara is suggesting over here, maybe we're holding like Rav Nachman. Essentially, what Rav Nachman says is, don't worry about today, right? Don't worry about, I should say, really, don't worry about tomorrow, right? Tomorrow, you'll do what you have to do. Today, do whatever you want to do. So same idea, it's quite a stretch, but same idea. The Gemara is saying, let her marry Levi today. What's the big deal? Tomorrow she'll marry Shimon, right? Tomorrow, at a certain point in time in the future, she'll go ahead and she'll marry Shimon. Don't worry about today. Tomorrow you'll take care of what you need to take care of. We'll say, by the way, it's such a fascinating like life machlokes, right? In other words, we'll say, if you know that you have something, right? So in this case over here, I'm making a neder that if I sleep tomorrow, sleep should be prohibited on me today. So the question is, we'll say, how far do I have to worry about tomorrow? How far do I have to worry about tomorrow? So you have over here, so Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you absolutely have to worry about tomorrow today. So therefore, don't sleep today, lest you come to sleep tomorrow. Rav Nachman says, don't worry about it. Worry about today, worry about tomorrow. Right? If you spend today worrying about tomorrow, first of all, you can't go ahead and control tomorrow, and you end up losing out on today. Right? So ultimately, again, so we'll say, right, the famous Maamar Chazal, don't stop thinking about tomorrow, right? So apparently, not everyone agrees with that statement of Chazal, right? Rav Nachman will say, stop thinking about tomorrow. Stop thinking about tomorrow. Again, we'll say, obviously the answer is finding somewhere in the middle, right? Because to be only present focused and not worried about the future is a shtickl irresponsible. To only be future focused at the expense of the present, ultimately, again, causes you to lose out on life. But there is something incredible that Rav Nachman is saying is, let today be today, right? And tomorrow will be tomorrow, right? Maximize today. Tomorrow, you'll figure out when tomorrow comes. I'll say, it's also an interesting, so I think we recognize this as we get older as well. There's another reason why you can't really plan for tomorrow. Because the truth is, you have absolutely no idea what tomorrow is going to look like. You know, I was driving to shul this morning, and I don't know if anyone lost power. Right? So like, a lot of people without power, and it's fascinating. You know, you think about it, that yesterday, right? People made plans for today, for Tuesday. They made plans. And I was saying, that happens for many. Those plans are like, no, we're shelving that. We've got no power. Right? We've got no power. We have suddenly, again, to figure out, like, what are we doing with the refrigerator? Right? What are we doing with this? What are we doing with that? So it's just fascinating how sometimes, again, it's not just the pshat that you shouldn't worry about the future because it comes at the expense of the present, but it's something even more that often that future is going to, you think you can plan for tomorrow because you think what tomorrow is going to look like. But then stuff happens in life, and the tomorrow you planned for today is not even the tomorrow that materialized. So you spend all of that time planning for something that didn't even come to fruition at the expense of maximizing your present. That's Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, here's the difference in the cases. Hachi ashta, hasam bidida, bididei kaima. But say in the sleep case, you control the circumstances. Di by mavriz navshe bisilusa. The low nine. Literally, you could prick yourself with thorns so you won't fall asleep. Acha, bidida kaimale grushen. We'll say over here, does she have control if she marries Levi? Does she have control that Levi's going to divorce her and then she's going to go ahead and marry Shimon? Of course not. Ela amar Rabba. So we'll say finally, third iteration. Here we go. Harizulo tinase lo 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 la acher. We'll say in reality, when Ruvin says to Rachel, This is your get on the condition that you marry Shimon. Really, Rachel can't get remarried with that get. Why not? Lolo, she can't marry Shimon. Why? Lolo tinasi shemayor nisho seyem nos dematana. She can't marry Shimon. Why? Doesn't look right. Doesn't look right. Right? At the end of the day, it looks like, again, right, Reuven's gifting his wife to Shimon. Right? La'achar lo tinasi debaikim l'tanai. She also can't marry Levi. Why can't she marry Levi? There's a tanai. There's a tanai. So she's stuck. However, v'mises lo, but if she did end up marrying Shimon, lo teitse, v'm shum gzir l'mafkinon. If she married Shimon, I will say, it's a valid marriage. It's a valid marriage. She doesn't have to leave it. La'achar, but if she marries Levi, teitse, she does have to leave that marriage. Why? Because ultimately, they're going to say, because that's like a shtickle adultery. Not shtickle adultery. Adultery. Right? Because why? Because the get had a condition and she has not fulfilled the condition. Tanya Kavasi de Rava, we write that supports Rava. So also when Reuven says to Rachel, this is your get on the condition that you marry Shimon, Hare Zu Lo Tina Se Lo Vlo La'achar. She really shouldn't remarry at all based on this get. Then he says Lo, but if she married Shimon, Lo Teze, she doesn't have to leave the marriage. La'achar Teze, but if she married someone else, she does have to leave the marriage. Incredible. Rabbi said, and that is the halacha l'maaseh on that sugya. Tana Banan. Some great cases. Reuven says, Rachel, this is your get on the condition that you ascend to the heavens. Ascend to the heavens. Okay. This is probably a bit more shayach, right? Or on the condition that you go to the tahom, right? Go to the tahom, right? Tahom means the depths, right? So Lamais again, he says, so this is your get. So as I will say, these are impossible to know him. So the Gemara says, right? Amenashati boili kanish al dalad amas, on the condition that you swallow a reed that is 4 amas long, impossible. Amenash shetavili kana baskufama, bring me a reed that is 100 amas tall. Impossible. Shetavri es hayam hagodol baraglayach, that you walk across the sea on your feet. Wrong religion, right? So we'll say, so Lamaisa, he gives her all of these conditions that are obviously, again, impossible to fulfill. So what's that halacha? Ain't no get. So we'll say, it's interesting. The Gemara says, it's not a get. Rabbi Huda ben Teima Omer. So Tanakama holds, it's not a get. It's not a get, invalid get. Why is it an invalid get? Because it has an invalid tanai attached to it. The invalid tanai, right, is essentially invalidates the entire get. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamar, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamar says, no, kazeh get. No, this is a good get. This is a good get. Why is it a good get? Klal amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamar, kol tanai sheyesh lo lekaimo besofo visala mitchila. So, eino ela kimafliga bedvarim v'chasher. Because what Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamar says, essentially, when you attach an impossible tonight to a get, you know what we do with that tonight? You know what we do with it? We throw it out. We just look at it as some hyperbolic posturing, right? But it's really absolutely irrelevant. It's irrelevant. So I want to say, the Lashon Rabbi Yehuda over here is very important. First, Rabbi Yehuda says, right? He says, kazeh get. He says, this is a get, right? This type of situation is a get. And then he espouses a tnai. A klal. Right, what's the klal? What's the general rule? Any tnai that is impossible to fulfill, we look at just as hyperbolic posturing, and therefore, again, ultimately, again, it's really void. The tnai itself is really irrelevant, and the document, in this case, the get, will remain kosher. Incredible, I will say. Amar Nachman, Amar Rav, halach Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Rav Nachman saying, Rav Dalach of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. That is Dalach, I will say, that any time you have an impossible tnai attached to a get, we look at the tanai as just nothing, and the get ultimately again will remain valid. Incredible. So the Gemara says, "Amrav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Masnisa Namidega." Our Mishnah supports this as well. The Tani Kol She'efshar Lo LeKaimo B'Sofo V'Hisna La B'Tchila. So Tanai Kaim, any type of tanai which you can fulfill, ultimately again the tanai is valid. Ha'i'afshar, which you can infer from this, if you can't fulfill the tanai, then tanai batal, then the tanai is batal, shmamina. So both say, so the Gemara actually concludes that the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamar, this is very important, a very important halacha. So anytime husband makes a tanai, and the tanai is impossible to fulfill, we look at the tanai, and we'll say, again, just to be clear, impossible, not difficult, right? Impossible to fulfill, right? Swallow a reed that's 4 amas long, impossible. Carry me a reed that is 100 amas long, impossible. Go to the heavens, go to the Tahom, walk on water, impossible. impossible. Salochim Master Behudimatema says, not a t'nai. T'nai is void. Get is valid. Incredible. Iboilu. What about the following case? We'll say this is fascinating. Harizigitech amanasha tochli basar chazer mahu. Wow. This is your get on the condition you eat chazer. You eat chazer. What's the halacha? Amar Abaye, hihi. Rabbi Yehuda says, this is it. Hihi also means this is exactly the case of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. This is an impossible t'nai. A yid doesn't eat chazer, right? So for me, eating chazer is just as impossible as walking on water, right? So lemaisa, again, that's the case. That's the case. And halacha lemaisa, the t'nai will be void, right? And ultimately, the get is good. Rava Amar Rava says, afshar da achla v'lakya. Rava says, no, she could eat chazer and get malchus. As well say, you could eat chazer, right? You could eat chazer and you get the punishment. So technically speaking, she can't fulfill t'nai. So in other words, we'll say, Rava is making a distinction between the t'nai that is impossible versus the t'nai that is possible but has ramifications. In other words, we'll say, telling her this is your get on the condition you walk on water, that's impossible. That's impossible. Saying this is your t'nai on the condition you eat chazer, that's possible. That's possible. Again, it's usur. You'll get malchus for it, but it's possible. So the Gemara says, La Abaye, according to Abaye, when Rabbi Huda said, Klal, La Sui, Basar Chazer. So according to Abaye, when Rabbi Huda ben Tema espoused his principle came to include a case like Chazer. Because Abaye says, impossibility includes that which is prohibited as well. If something is prohibited to me, it falls into the realm of impossible. L'Rava, Kazel, L'Me'ute, Basar Chazer. According to Rava, Rava says no. When Rabbi Huda ben Tema said kazeh get means if the t'nai is impossible, then ultimately the t'nai is void. If the t'nai is possible, then ultimately the t'nai is extended. The t'nai ultimately again is in existence. So Meisei Gemara is supposed to say fascinating machlokas. Meisei Gemara is akasha harei zegitech amenashati boile leploni. Let's see, interesting case. Reuven says to Rachel, divorcing his wife, right, this is your get on the condition you have relations with Shimon. So what's the halacha? Niskaima t'nai, hareze get. If she fulfills the t'nai, the get is valid. Ve'im lav eno get. And if not, it's not a get. Amanas shaloti ba'ili la'abo la'avicha. What happens if he gives her a get and he says, this is your get on the condition that you don't have relations with my father or your father? So, okay, in choshishin shema nivala lahen. Ultimately, again, we're not choshish. So again, the get is valid, and we're not choshish that she engaged in any of these acts. Ve'ilu, yet what we infer from this is ve'ilu al minas sheti boili la'abu la'avicha lo katani. Now, I'll say interestingly enough, what's not included over here? What's not included over here is what if he said to her, "This is your get on the condition that you have relations with my father or your father." To which the Gemara says, La Abaye Necha, L'Rav Akasha. According to Abaye, it makes sense why this is not included. Why? Because we'll say, Abaye includes any case of Isser in the case of impossible. Rava does not. So according to Rava, technically speaking, could she have relations with her father or his father? She could. But in other words, it's physically possible. So we'll say, in the case of Basar Chazer, we'll say she controls that. In other words, she can eat it and she can get malchus. Right? Ploni nami afshar de meshach tele b'mone. So even if it's a t'nai, this is your get on the condition of she has relations with Shimon, we'll say, assuming that there's not anything illicit here, she could give Shimon money. She could bribe Shimon to engage in the act of relations with her. Ela abba v'avicha. Bididak Haima, Rabbi said, in a case of where he says have relations with my father, your father, is that dependent on her? So he says, Rabbi said, that's a pretty serious transgression. Even if she's willing, who's to say that her father or his father will be willing? In other words, it's not in her control. What Rabbi is suggesting over here, Rabbi says, even though Rabbi says that Isser is not impossible, it's only a valid t'nai when she controls the violation of the Isser. But if she doesn't control the violation of the Isser, then that falls into the realm of impossible. Shavu said, the Rava, klal la'asui abba va'avicha. According to Rava, when Rabbi Huda ben Tema said klal, that comes to include the case of abba and avicha. Kazeh lemi'utei basar chazer. Kazeh comes to exclude the case of basar chazer, that would be a valid tanai. We'll say pay dalad on the days. La'abaye, according to Abaye, klal la'asui basar chazer. Abaye says klal comes to include the case of basar chazer, that it's not a proper tanai. Kazeh lemi'utei ploni. And Kazeh comes to exclude the case of ploni, where he says to her, this is your get on the condition that you have relations with ploni. Abai would agree that such a case could be a valid tonight. So Rabbi say, what we are left with, we are now on the second line of 84b, paid down on the days. And Rabbi say, what we are left with is something really interesting. So here's what everyone will agree with. Everyone will agree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema's klal. Right? His klal is that if you attach an impossible tonight to a get, what's the status of the tonight? What's that? The tonight? Void. It's hyperbolic posturing. It's nothing. It's ridiculousness, right? It just falls off. We just ignore it. We just ignore it as if it's not there. The interesting machlokes also between Abaye and Rava is what happens if he attaches a tanai that would cause her to violate an iser, right? This is your get on the condition you eat chazer. You eat chazer. So Abaye will say, aser is the same thing as impossible. Rava says, aser is not the same thing as impossible. Why? What's the definition of impossible? The definition of impossible? Impossible. Right? Iser is possible. It just comes with ramifications. So Rabbosai said, it's fascinating. Such a fundamental machlokes. Let's analyze a bit more. Amadeus. 84b, second line. So Nesid, Gemara Zekasha, Harei Zekitech, Amanasha Tochli, Baser Chazir. Right? This is your get on the condition that you eat Chazir. Then Haisa Zara Amanasha Tochli with Shuma, or for that matter, again, let's say she's a non Kohen, right? A non Kohenes. And he says, this is your get on the condition you eat Truma. Then Haisa Nazira Amash Tishtiyayin, or for that matter, again, she's a Nazira. She's a Nazira, and he says, this is your get on the condition you drink wine. So we're saying, all of these cases, what's the halacha? Nizkayim atnai, hareza get. If you fulfill the tanai, the get is good. V'im lav, ain't no get. And if not, it's not a get. Shavosai, the Rava Necha, la baye kasha. According to Rava, this is perfect. Right? This makes sense. Why? Because according to Rava, what does Rava say? Rava says, Aser is not impossible. Aser is not impossible. And therefore, in all of these cases, Shavosai, could the Nazira drink wine? Is she able to drink wine? Yes. Is the non-Kohenes, is the Israelis able to eat Truma? Yes. Right? Is she able to eat chazer? Yes. So therefore, again, technically speaking, these tenaim can be fulfilled. And therefore, again, non-compliance, it's not impossible. Therefore, the tenai is a valid tenai, and non-compliance causes the get to be void. La bai kasha. We'll say, according to Abaye, this poses a contradiction, because Abaye holds that aser is the equivalent of impossible. Abaye, mi savris divri akoli. Do you think this price reflects the view of everyone? So the Gemara says, "Hamani Rabbanani." This is the view of the Rabbanan. So I will say, this is such an incredible Musar. What Abaye will say is, Abaye says, "I accept the fact that not everyone agrees with me." In other words, you're bringing a Brysa, I understand the Brysa, that's fine, I can explain to you. The Brysa reflects the opposing view. That's it. So again, the Brysa doesn't pose a problem to me, right? The Brysa, I'll admit, there is another view out there. The Brysa supported by the Brysa. What an incredible Musar Haskil. We'll say, imagine if we actually operated this way in life and not just on the pages of Gemara. Accepting the fact that there are opposing views, right? See, I will say, when you're comfortable in your own skin and you're comfortable with your own hashkafas and you're comfortable with your own outlooks and you're comfortable with your own ideas, you're also comfortable with the fact that other people believe differently. Hey, I'll say the only time people feel threatened by opposing views is when they're not confident enough in their own. If you're confident in you, I'm okay with other people disagreeing. I'm okay with other people having different ashkafas, different outlooks, different isms, different this. Fine, go, whatever. Whatever. I know for me what is the truth, and I know what is. So we'll say, what's happening? What's happening in this Gemara? Abaye is confident in his position. He's so confident that he's able to say, of course, there are other opinions. There's another Braisa, and that Braisa is not my opinion. But the good news is, I'm comfortable enough in me. I'm confident enough in me that I could also accept the fact that other views exist. Incredible. Incredible. The safe folk lay the Mastama Shakasa Torah. Okay. So now both says, now the Gemara says, so let's take a step back. Let's focus on the Chazar case for a little bit, right? So Reuven says to Rachel, this is your get on the condition that you eat Chazar. So remember again, so Abaye says, impossible, sorry, Aser is equivalent to impossible. Rava says, no, it isn't, because this lamaisa is possible. So that's our machlokas. Simar says, but I have a more fundamental question. Why isn't this a problem of masna amasha kasa batorah? Well, see, in general, when you make a tnai, which runs contrary to Torah law, what's the halacha? V'chala masna amasha kasa batorah, tnai batal. Well, so we have a general principle that says, whenever you make a tnai, which runs contrary to Torah law, your tnai is batal. Your tanai is batal. So I don't understand. So Reuven says to Rachel, this is your get on the condition that you go ahead and you eat basar chazer, right? You eat chazer. That is the tanai which runs contrary to Torah law. So why don't we just say automatically, that is batal. I'm Ravad Beit Ravika. Ki amina masna shakasa batar tanai batal. So this is very interesting. When do we say that when you make a tanai which runs contrary to Torah law, tanai is batal? Keep going. Sheira ksusa va'onasa. So I will say, the paradigmatic case of that is actually very interesting, is where it will say, Sher, Ksus, and Ona represent the three obligations that a husband has to his wife in marriage. Sher is mizonos, is sustenance. Ksus is clothing. Ona is physical intimacy. Let's say a man says to his wife, Hare at nikudeshas li, almanas she'in lech alai, Sher, Ksus, and Ona. Man says to his wife, this is you, right? We're married. On the condition that you have no claim, right? For share ksus and ona on me. So we'll say, what's that look in such a situation like that? It's ina mikudeshas. Why? Because she's masna amasha kasav batorah. Right? So the Gemara says, when we say masna amasha kasav batorah, ultimately, the paradigmatic example of that is like in a case of kiddushin. In the case of Kiddushin, where ultimately, again, he's trying to betroth her, but he's trying to betroth her without the fundamental tenets of marriage. The who ka'akar. He will say, why is this the paradigm? Because we'll say, in this case, he's the one uprooting the biblical law, right? So he says to her, here's the case of Kiddushin, and you are mikudeshes to me on the condition that you have no biblical claims against me that normally come with marriage. So such a tanai is batal. Why is it batal? Because he's actively uprooting biblical law. Now we'll say, watch this. Tahu ka'akar. Aval ha'cha ihi ka'akra. Now we'll say, this is incredible. Over here, he's not uprooting Torah law. Now we'll say, who's going to end up uprooting Torah law? She does. Now we'll say, so this is actually fascinating. Let's take a step back over here. There's a concept of masna masha kasav batorah. Right, when you make a condition that runs contrary to Torah law, so what's the halacha? Your tanai is batal. They'll say, when is that true? The Gemara suggests, when is that true? That's true when the one who is making the tanai is the one who's actively uprooting the law as well. So the tanai maker is the one who through his tanai himself or herself actively uproots biblical law. So a paradigmatic example of that, Reuven says to Rachel, Hari Akmin Kudeshasi, you're married to me on the condition that you have no claims for sustenance, clothing, or intimacy. So that tanai is batal. Tanai is batal because Reuven, you're actively uprooting biblical law. He will say that's different than this case. Right? Reuven says to Rachel, this is your get on the condition that you eat chazer. He will say, Who's making the tanai? Reuven, who's uprooting the tanai? I'm sorry, you're saying, who's uprooting biblical law? Rachel. Fascinating technicality. So in other words, everyone will subscribe to the concept that masna amasha kasa bator tino batal. When you make a tanai, which runs contrary to Torah law or uproots Torah law, your tanai is batal. But that's only true if the person who's making the tanai is the one who's actively uprooting the law. In this case over here, fascinatingly enough, he's making the tanai, but she's the one doing the avera, right? By Ibn Chazer. She's the one uprooting the law. That's not the concept. So the Gemara says, "Ki amrina masna masha kasav batorah tino batal." I'm sorry. Good. Ela Amar Ravina. Ela Ravina says, "Ki amrina masna masha kasav batorah tino batal." When do we say that when you make a tanai which runs contrary to Torah law, your tanai is batal? Ki gon sheiruk susa va'onasa devadai ka'akra. We'll say furthermore, when do we say mas? Did I skip?
Yeah.
Okay. Maskif le Ravina. Sorry. So Ravina raises a question. He says, 1 second. Klum ka agra'i elekiyume tonight today. That's not fair. That's not fair. Why is she uprooting Torah law, right? Why is she eating chazer? Why is she eating chazer? Why? Why? Because the tonight that he made, right? She's not stam going to go ahead, right? Going to eat chazer on her own. The only reason she's eating chazer is because of the tonight that he made. So the Gemara says, ishtachach tiu ka akar. I think that's still called that he's uprooting biblical law. El Am Ravina, Ravina says, "Kiamin amas nash chazavadar tina batal." When do we say that amas nash chazavatora, that when you make it tonight, which runs contrary to Torah law, that your tonight is batal? When is that? Gon sheirik susavonasa devadai kaakar. Shirabo say that's in a case where ultimately again the tonight will definitely uproot Torah law. We're going to say, take a look, a quick look at Rashi, last wide line on the top. Devadai ka'akar, shay maser la kiddushin. Remember, in this case over here, he already gave her kesef kiddushin. Vahari hi ishto lischayiv bekulon. And then Rabbi will say, what happens? He gives her the kesef kiddushin. She accepts the kesef kiddushin. He says, this is your kiddushin on the condition, ultimately, again, that you have no claim of sher susin ona. So technically speaking, the only way for her to be married to him, ultimately, again, is through the negation of this biblical precept. So the Gemara says, however, avahalcha mikamra lo sagid lo acha lo techa lo tigarish. Rabbi says she does have a choice in the get case. What's her choice? What's her choice? Don't get divorced. That is, Rabbi says it's not the pshat that she has to eat the chazer. She only has to eat the chazer if she wants a divorce. There's another option. What's the other option? Stay married. Stay married. So we'll say that's the distinction also. When do we say Masta Mashakasa Batar Tina Batal? That's when, by definition, there's no choice but the negation of a Torah precept. So, for example, if he gave her the Kesef Kiddushin, she accepted the Kesef Kiddushin, and then he attaches the Tanai, ultimately, the only way they're married is Halacha L'maisa if she goes ahead and then there's violation of a biblical precept. In this case over here, it says, this is your get on the condition that you go out and you eat chazer. Okay, there's one option. One is eat chazer. Option two is, don't eat chazer. Don't eat chazer. Okay, I understand. By not eating chazer, they remain married. But that ultimately still remains a viable option. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, the tenai, as much as it runs contrary to biblical law, does not automatically become void. A fascinating distinction. So the Gemara goes back to Ketsa Yasi Yitlana Hemeno. So I'll say, so remember again, in the case, so back to the Mishnah. So remember again, back to our original case, Reuven says to Rachel, this is your get on the condition, this is your get, and you are permitted to every man except for Shimon. Except for Shimon. So remember again, Rabbi Eliezer said that the get is a valid get. Ultimately, again, the Rabbanon say it's an invalid get. We already established how he passed like the Rabbanon. So there is a way to remedy this get. How do you remedy the get? So the Gemara says, what should you do? Ketsa Yase Yitlena Hemena. Take the get back, and give it to her again, this time without a tanai. To which the Gemara says, Man Tana, who is the Tana? So Amr Chizkiya Rav Shimon al-Azra, he decided Rav Shimon al-Azra, Omer, Ad Shiyit Lena Himenu, V'yachzar V'yit Nena La. Take the get back, and re-give it to her. V'yomer La Hagiteich. Right? And go ahead and say, this is your get. This is your get. Rabbi Yochanan says, Afilu Tema Rebbe, it could even be Rebbe, Dilchon Amar Shani Hacha Hoyl Knasali Pasabal the Kuhuna. Could even be Rebbe because your Tana ultimately said that case is different. The previous case we discussed is different. Why? Because ultimately, again, she acquired it at least enough to be invalidated for the Kuhuna. Again, I will say, so Halacha L'maisa, what they're saying is when you gave a get with this invalid Tana, that this is only your get, if you don't marry Shimon, Chutz Mishimon, ultimately, again, it could be remedied by taking the get back, giving it again a second time. Kasvu b'socho. And I will say, up until now, we were talking about the fact that this tonight was verbal. What happens if you actually wrote, right? Hari ak mutaros l'chol adam chutz mishimin and the get? That's going to be much more problematic. Says the Gemara. Let's analyze. I'm Rav Safra. Kasvu b'socho. Tonight, Rav Safra said, ultimately, again, if the condition was written in the get, that would mamish invalidate the get. To which the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious, Kasa B'Sokha Tanan. It says that. That's what it said in Mishnah. To which the Gemara says, Ma'od Teimo, what would you have thought? Hanimi La'achar Toref. I would have thought, ultimately, again, when is writing the condition in the get problematic? only if you inserted it after the Torah. Well, say, remember again, a get, this goes back to, we had this in, a little bit early on in the Masechta, a get has two parts to it, a Torah and a Tofes. The Torah, I will say, or I should say, the Tofes is like the boilerplate. It's this thing that, the part that's the same in every single get. The Torah contains the couple-specific information. So Moses is like this, I'm out of thought. When you write the condition in the get, so writing it in the get is problematic, even if you write it in after the Torah. In other words, after the primary part of the get. Aval ifnei Torah, afilu al peh nami pasul. I'll say, but let's say the condition is espoused before the Torah, I would have thought Rabbi said that maybe in that case, even if you just verbally say the condition, but it's being stated before the Torah was written, maybe that invalidates the entire get. Kamash malon, no. Kamash malon, Rabbi said that Allah l'maisa, the only time that the get itself becomes an invalidated instrument is when the condition itself of chutz l'shim, chutz mishimin, is actually written in the get itself. Rava Amar Rava says, lo shanu ela la'achar ha-toref, we've only learned after the Torah, aval lifnei ha-toref, afilu al peh nami pasul. Comes on, Rava says, it's pretty dramatic. Rava says, not true. When do we say ultimately again that the get is not invalidated? That's only ultimately again if the t'nai is stated or written after the Torah. Aval lifnei ha-toref, Rava say, if the t'nai itself is either written in the get before the Torah or even articulated before the Torah, that will invalidate the get. That's pretty incredible. Rava goes according to his reasoning. Rava says this. Rava said to the people who write the get, Rava lano ksivi giti shasku shetuke labal ad kasvinu le Torah de gita. Rava said this is incredible. Rava used to say, tell the husband to be quiet until the Torah is written. So Rava said, let me explain what's happening over here. So according to Rava like this, according to Rava, the Torah has to be written, it has to be written without any Tanai spoken out or any Tanai written in. And according to Rava, if the husband goes ahead and makes an invalid Tanai before or during the writing of the Torah, that will actually invalidate the get. Even though, again, nothing is written in the get itself. All the more so, if something invalidating is written into the Torah itself, it will invalidate the get. Therefore, Rava said, it's incredible. Rava would say, halacha l'maisa, when writing the get, tell the husband to be quiet. The good news is, once the Torah, which contains the couple-specific information, is written, we're good. Then if the husband espouses any other tanaim, it's not going to invalidate the get in there. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this piece, Emirat Hashem, tomorrow. Again, getting more into the specifics regarding the writing of the get. That's going to lead us to the next mission as well. Yishkoyach.